Thank you, Jerry. You know, I've said for quite a while now that if Jerry kept it up, he was going to make a good song leader one of these days. I'd like to change that and say the brother is a good song leader already. Well done, Jerry. He's going to get all red-faced now, but that's a good job. Talked about this morning about how to recognize that there's a dividing line. It runs down through scriptures from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And still today, we need to be conscious of that dividing line. Well, how do we do that? How do we stay on the right-hand side of that dividing line, on God's side of it? And I think it boils down to just a couple of things we need to be conscious of. And if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 with me, we'll discover what Paul has to say about how to go about doing that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, just the first couple of three verses there. And we'll see what Paul says. You know, Brother Joe, I appreciate his prayer a minute ago about praying for preachers. Preachers have no less than three areas of judgment that we're always conscious of. And first of is our own judging ourselves. We all judge ourselves. A preacher judges himself about how he acts in his life, about what he says, the things he does, the clothes he wears, everything about who we are, because somebody's going to see you one day and know that you're a preacher from somewhere, and they're going to judge that. So we judge ourselves pretty strongly. And then there's public opinion I mentioned a second ago, that does being judged by others. But then there's divine justice. And the things that we realize is that in the final analysis, God will be the judge. And that's the only one that really matters. That's why that dividing line is so important, that we are on that right-hand side of that dividing line. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and read the first five verses there. Paul would write, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God." Two words to me jump out in that passage, both early in the passage, the word steward and the word faithful. It is required of stewards to be faithful. And if we consider ourselves as stewards, and Paul talks about as a preacher being a steward of the mystery of God, that mystery is not a whodunit. You understand, when Paul or the others in the New Testament use the word mystery, it's something that was not revealed but now has been revealed. It's something that we already know by reading through Scripture, the mysteries that was not revealed until it was preached. He is a benefactor of the mystery of God, but he is also a responsible steward of the mystery of God. And that being so, Paul knew that he needed to be found faithful in that. Well, as like I said, if we judge ourselves as stewards and we find ourselves to be faithful stewards, God will judge us as such. Let's take a look at a couple of things. In Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 6, we find out about that mystery, that God has revealed the mystery through the Holy Spirit. Today, a preacher is not a depository. Paul and the other apostles were depositories of that day. The Holy Spirit deposited the mysteries of God in the hearts and minds of the apostles. They then became a dispenser of that same information, that same mystery. Well, preachers today are not depositories. Preachers today are simply dispensers of the mystery, dispensers of the gospel of Christ, the Word of God. We have the Bible, so we don't need to be any longer depositories in which the truth is deposited for dispensing. We're all stewards, though. Paul calls himself a steward of the mysteries of God. Every one of us, including all preachers, are stewards in many areas of our life. Stewards with our money, stewards with our health, stewards with our abilities and the abilities God has given us, stewards of our time, and so forth. Many are the Christian that fail to be faithful in their stewardship of all the above. Think about it. There may be areas in your life where you're not maybe thinking of yourself as a faithful steward of time, money, abilities, or whatever it may be. In other areas, you are. All of us, I think, have areas where that's a check and a positive, and other areas where it might be a minus and a negative. Where we need to focus is trying to get all those areas to where we're good stewards in all the above. Not an easy task, but a doable task. If you look for the word faithful in your scripture, just in the New Testament, I didn't count them, but a strong and long list of places in scripture, verses where the word faithful appears just in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, when the word faithful or faithfulness was used, it more often than not applied to God in the Old Testament. Although in the New Testament it applies to God as well, more than that, it applies to the Christian, to being faithful, to being a faithful steward. Paul says in this text here that it's required of stewards to be faithful. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Let's go there just for a second. Just a couple of instances where we're charged to be faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 58. Now I don't hear any pages in Bibles turning. There they go. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Wonder why our labor is not in vain when we're abounding in labor in the work of the Lord. It's not in vain because we find ourselves being faithful stewards of something we possess when we're laboring for the Lord, whether it's your ability to share the gospel with others, whether it's your time, your energy, your abilities, whatever it is you're laboring with, you find yourselves to be faithful stewards in that area. Now, the thing of it is, there's more than just a couple areas like I talked about a minute ago. There's several areas where we need to be maybe a little more faithful in our stewardship. But then Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Another position where we're encouraged to be faithful. Good stewards. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Holding fast that confession of our hope, did you make a confession of hope? I hope you did. I know you did. When you decided to become a Christian, when you decided to put on the Lord in baptism to be obedient to the gospel, you made at that point a confession of the hope that was within you. We all did. How close and how secure do we continue to hold to that confession of our hope? Is it still as strong as it was the day you became a Christian? I hope it is. For some, it tends to be a little weaker as time goes on. It becomes second nature. It becomes old hat. It becomes just something that I am. And the fire kindles a little bit weaker than it did the day you were baptized. I remember the day I was baptized, I couldn't tell enough people that next day. Everybody, would you quit talking about it? That's all you want to talk about was, oh, I'm on fire for the Lord. And was. Still am. But I think the fire, even in preachers, goes down just a bit over time. Unless we stay in the Word, unless we stay focused, unless we're conscious of the fact we need to be found faithful stewards in all things, especially in that hope that we possess. It's sometimes, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but sometimes it's tough to get people to remain faithful. It is. In all areas. Now, all of us sitting here, this is what the preacher calls the faithful few. How many you have on Sunday night is the faithful few of what shows up on Sunday morning. And I'll tell you that in this congregation here, it is a larger percentage of the faithful few than in most other congregations. We have a good two-thirds of our folks, half to two-thirds of our folks that come back on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Maybe a few less on Wednesday. But look around. I don't know how many we counted this morning. We counted an even 50 this morning. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. There's 20 over here. 36 here tonight. That's a good percentage of 50. A lot of congregations aren't blessed with that kind of faithfulness in attending an evening worship service. You're to be commended for that. But there's other areas that we need to be conscious of as well. But it's hard, as I said, sometimes to get people to remain faithful in all areas. And I think because of the day in which we live, things have to be, maybe it's too easy to be faithful. Think about that. What does it take to be faithful? What does it take to be found a faithful steward? Stick to it. It's not something that's super duper. It's not something that's way above board. It's not something that you go up like a rocket and everybody notices. It's just being that solid rock instead of a rocket that's always there, that's always faithful, always consistent, always trustworthy, always steadfast. It's not a big thing, but to God it is. And it's not something that the public or anybody else might ever notice. Your brothers and sisters will. But it's hard to interest people sometimes in just plain old-fashioned faithfulness. And that's what it takes. To stay on the right side of that dividing line just takes plain old faithfulness. It's maybe a little old-fashioned to some. I know a lot of congregations that are always looking for the bigger and the better. How do we make our worship better and bigger and more exciting and so forth? And you do that with plain old-fashioned faithfulness is how you do that. Everything's got to be gigantic or colossal or big time or to do or yippee and all that good stuff today. And about everything in our lifestyle, everything's getting bigger and better. Even drugs, we call them wonder drugs. Half for years, I think it's because you take a few of them and you wonder what's going to happen next. But it doesn't have to be that way with our Christianity, with our faithfulness. It's not a yippee, pow, big to-do. It's a steadfast continuation in the faith. That's all it is. It's not hard. It just needs to be consistent. 2 Corinthians 5:10. The reason this is important, the reason that a preacher would even bring it up is verses like 2 Corinthians 5:10 that tells us that one day we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. To receive what we've done. And I'm paraphrasing that verse, but we're going to receive what we have done in this life, whether good or bad. If we've done good, if we're found to be faithful stewards, then we receive the good. If we're found to be unfaithful stewards and folks who didn't do with what they had the ability to do with, we'll be found unfaithful. And surely, if given the choice today or tomorrow or next week or next month or any time, you would say, I want to be found a faithful steward. I want to be found on the good side of that line. Divided from the others. All it takes is just plain old-fashioned faithfulness. That's all it is. Doesn't have to be a big to-do. Each of us have let me put it this way. You can go into my office anytime and look at my desk and it's a wreck. There's things on there it's the round to it, it's the get to it, it's the things that hadn't been taken care of yet. And I use that analogy to know and understand that I need to get better at that, but also to ask the question, what does the desk of your life look like? There's the question. Unfinished business, unfinished whatever on the desk of your life. If that's the case, then you need to get a little bit stronger in that faithful steward area. If we're found to be a faithful steward, the desk of our lives will be pretty much clean. There'll always be something there to do and take care of. But it won't be a stack of stuff that gets out of hand. You ever notice when there's so much stuff on the desk, you just look at it and go, oh, and walk away? You do, I promise you do. Y'all know that's true. When there's so much stuff there, you can't get to all of it and get it done. I'm going to go have some ice cream, and you're done with it. But if we start knocking away just little by little at those tasks that are left undone, we become that faithful steward of getting things accomplished. That's the analogy of how it is with our Christianity. If God says do it, it's important to do it. If we leave it stacked up on the desk of our life, then that's not being very faithful. I hope you get the analogy, and I hope you understand that, and I hope that's beneficial to you in your faithfulness, in your stewardship. This is one of the best congregations I've ever known that does get things done and is faithful.
that Sunday after Sunday we're all here. Sunday after Sunday we probably don't get as much done as other congregations, but we're steadfast in who we are, and that's a great thing. So the encouragement is to be a better steward, to be a more faithful steward, each and every one of us, in the areas of life where maybe we're not quite as faithful and steward-wise as we need to be. Do that this week. When you come back next week, you'll be better off for it. I guarantee it. We all will. That's the message. I hope it's beneficial for you. The song has been chosen, and as we stand together in a minute and sing this song, if you have a need to come and respond to that song, this is a time where everyone has the opportunity. If you're having issues with stewardship and you need some assistance with that, you can make that known. If you're having issues with any other thing and you need the assistance of the church or prayer to the church, you know what this time's for. Use it to your best interest while together we stand and while we sing.